Well, praise the Lord. Baruch Hashem. Welcome to Walk It Out. We are in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 3 is where we're going to start today. I hope you had an awesome day in the Lord. It is evening here. It is the Sabbath. I am celebrating the Sabbath right now. And what better thing to do than to get into the Word and to share the study of the Word. That's what we're supposed to do, actually, besides rest. And I am resting. Even though I'm on this treadmill, I'm just taking a nice stroll, not going to work out too hard on this evening. But whatever you're doing, if you're working out, if you're on your treadmill, if you're just taking a walk, if you're doing yoga, lifting weights, whatever it is, as we walk out the Word of God in our lives by study and also bringing some physical activity to these bodies that He gave us. Amen. So it is awesome to be with you. All right. Well, we're just going to pick it up with Leviticus chapter 3 and when verse 1. And remember, Leviticus is the law of the priests. And so it's a very technical, but Holy Spirit invaded in chapters 1 and 2. So I don't know what to expect. You know, the Word is rich. The Word we know is spirit and it's life. So even though sometimes it can seem like in some of these books that are it's just a lot of technicality that we're talking about, rules, regulations, and don't really see how it can apply to us today and how we can really get anything out of it. Well, we can't think that way. We got to just open our hearts and let the Holy Spirit come in and show us and give us revelation in the Word. Amen. No matter what it is we're reading from the book. So here we go. Leviticus. And I'm reading from the King James Version today. Verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys. It shall he take away. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. Here again, remember, we talked in the previous two chapters about the need for an unblemished sacrifice, you know, a perfect sacrifice, and hear how the blood is sprinkled before the altar. All this is a sign of Yeshua. It's just a practice run. It's just showing us really what is to come. It's a picture of Jesus. So as we read these verses and we hear about the specificity of the sacrifice, let's just remember that Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, that this speaks of Him, you know, that He is this perfect lamb, this perfect sacrifice. So let's just keep that in mind as we read it. Verse 7. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood round there about upon the altar. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof and the whole rump. It shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. As I think about the peace offering, you know, we have to make peace with God. We have to make peace with Jehovah. In our rebellion, in our turning away from God, that puts us at war with him. You know, we can only be in one camp or another, on one side or another. There's no being in both camps. There's no having one foot in Satan's camp and the other foot in the camp of Jehovah. No, it doesn't work like that way. If we are not at peace with God, we are at war with him. And so these offerings, you know, these peace offerings, when they had to lay their hand upon the head, I see them laying their sin, their rebellion, their war-making tendencies. All that is laid upon this lamb that then is slaughtered, right, in place of them. And that's what brings peace. The blood brought the peace. Come on now. The blood of Yeshua, the blood of Jesus, that brings peace. That brought the peace in our lives. His blood brought us peace with God. And man, it's just amazing when we think about how God so desired us to be back in relationship and in covenant and not be at war, you know, not be at war. I mean, we are silly to be at war with God. Do we think we can win a war against Almighty God? You know, when we're out doing what we want to do and don't want to obey God, don't want to embrace his word for our lives, you know, don't want to follow him completely. We want to be at war with Almighty God. Really, it's silliness. It's silliness, but we don't see it that way because we're in our flesh. You know, we want to do me. You know, I got to be me. I got to do me. But really, what I'm saying is, I'm going to be at war with you, God. How foolish. How foolish. Come on now. We are smarter than that. And I thank God for his love and his mercy and his grace and his revelation that provided a way for us to be at peace with him. You know, it was God who extended the olive branch. It was God who did that. You know, he could see. And this is, oh my goodness, this is another thing about our Heavenly Father. He didn't have to do that. You know, he can stomp us out with his pinky, with his pinky, the whole human race, right? So it's like the one who knows that he is victorious, or the one that knows that he has all the power, but yet in a war, he says, I'm going to extend the peace offering. I'm going to do it. Look at that. That is amazing. And that is just how much our God loves us. And that is just, oh, what a loving God we have. All right, let's get back to Leviticus. So verse 10, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood therefore upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by the fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that ye eat neither fat nor blood. All right. Let's move on to Leviticus 4. It shall be a perpetual offering. Perpetual. What does that mean? That means forever, right? That means ongoing. Ongoing offering. Perpetual. You know, sometimes when I read the Old Testament lately, I've been noticing words like, and it will be for all generations, and it will be perpetual, and it will, you know, and it's causing me to want to dig deeper. It's causing me to wonder about us ending things, you know, rituals. And I'm not talking about sacrifice because, you know, there's always the spiritual, you know, there's the natural and there's the spiritual. What my pastor, Pastor Mike Lyons, he always says, you know, when you're reading the Word of God, you know, there's the natural application and there's the spiritual application. So I'm not saying that God is saying that there's a perpetual sacrifice at that statute, you know, that it should always be done in the natural, but there's got to be he's got to be talking about something that goes on forever, because he said perpetual. So I'm thinking, you know, that it's a spiritual connotation to that, and I don't quite have my mind wrapped around it just yet, or my spirit, because we don't rely on our rational mind when we're reading the Word. So I want to pray about this, but I feel like God has been moving me to go back to our Jewish roots, you know, because that is our roots. That is our roots. And to pick back up some of the things that we may have tossed aside because we said, oh, that's Old Testament. But, you know, I want to know what Jesus did and what he practiced. And what have we thrown away because we just thought that it wasn't for us. You know, that's a Jewish thing. Well, we're Jewish things. You know, we're from the tribe of Judah, which is where the word even came from. You know, our king was the king of Judah. So actually, I can say I'm a Jew. Because I worship the king of Judah, Jesus, Yeshua. So there's so much, I think, that we need to go back and just pick up and take a look at. And I'm certainly not going to do that on this particular episode or broadcast in the book of Leviticus. But I'm just saying, God is, he's awakening some things in me. And maybe he might be doing that in you as well. Or maybe even just me talking about this today is to cause you to maybe pray on that and think on that. So again, I'm going to be praying about that. And if God gives me any revelation and, you know, takes me somewhere with that, I'm going to talk about it with you guys if it's appropriate as we go through the Word. You know, anyway, let me get back to Leviticus. I am really wandering today. All right, so we are in Leviticus chapter 4. And the Lord, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring forth his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, seven, the number of perfection, the number of completion, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar, of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver, and the kidneys. It shall he take away, as it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the skin of the bullock and all his flesh, with his head and with his legs and his inwards and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done something against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which shall not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all the fat from him and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullocks as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall she do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth a bullock without the camp and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God, concerning things which should not be done in his guilty, or if his sin wherein he had sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering in his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth something against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not be done, and be guilty, or if his sin, which he have sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he have sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar, according to the offerings made by the offerings, unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Wow, that was a lot. atoning, but okay, did you get that atonement has to be made for even sins done in ignorance? Wow, so, you know, just like the law says that, ignorance is no excuse, you know, for breaking the law. It's no excuse. They'll charge you anyway, even if you didn't know, you know, that there was a law. Well, it's the same. Well, they got that obviously from the word of God. But I just think, wow. So, you know, God is holy. He's holy. And we can't get around that. So any violation of his word, of his statute, any violation is a violation, regardless to if it was done in ignorance or not. But God, you know, because he's holy, he said, I can't look past it. But because I love you, I'm going to provide for you a way to atone for it. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Because he's a holy God, he can't look past our sin. But because he's a loving Father, he made a way for an atonement. He made a way for him not to view our sin. And that's because we're covered by the blood of Yeshua of Jesus. Amazing. That's some amazing revelation right there. All right. But we're going to go on. Let's see. I've been on here 22 minutes. We want to get at least 30 minutes in, right? So I'm going to keep going. We're going to go to Leviticus 5. I don't know how long this one is. And let's see what Holy Spirit has for us here. Verse 1. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he have seen or known of it, if he did not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering, according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sins shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah, a fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he have sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him. And the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he have done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. Okay, and that's the end of chapter 5. Now, when I was reading that, remember, okay, it talked about how first they would bring this type of offering. But if they didn't have the goats or whatever it was he named first, then he said, okay, they could bring two turtle doves and, a substitute, I guess you can say. And if they weren't able to do that, then they could bring a handful of frankincense or whatever it said in that. But when I was reading that, I was like, God didn't require what they didn't have. You know what I mean? He didn't say to them, in order to be forgiven, I need for you to sacrifice. I need for you to bring me, let's just say, and I'm just throwing something out just to make an analogy. I need you to bring me your house, okay? The deed to your house. This is what I need you to bring to me, the deed to your house, okay? This is what is required for forgiveness of this sin. I need deeds to all houses, right? But then if you had a person who had no house, but yet he committed that sin, what is he going to do? How is he going to make an atonement? God says, okay, you don't have a house, so this is what you can bring. And my point in that, I know that's kind of off way out there as far as analogies go, but the point of it is God doesn't require a sacrifice from us that we can't give, right? He doesn't require a repentance or an atonement that we're not capable of giving. And when Jesus came, when Yeshua came and was our perfect atonement and sacrifice and shed his blood, all we have to do is receive him, and to admit our sin and to ask for forgiveness. Come on. Is there anybody that is not capable of doing that? Is that too much to ask of any of us? And of course the answer is no. Some of us choose not to do that, choose not to humble ourselves, because our pride is on 100, so we can't humble ourselves to take a knee before God or to bow or to admit our faults and our wrong. Oh my goodness. No, that's way too much. But look at how God is, how Jehovah, his heart is for reconciliation. And we see that even in Leviticus, even in this book of the law of the priests, we see God's heart, his heart for reconciliation, his heart for forgiveness. Wow. So we just need to remember that. And when we are looking at others, right, When our eye is on the faults and on the sins of other people, you know, when we put that judging hat on, oh, we need to think about this. We need to think about how the heart of God is to reconcile the sinner with him. You know, to bring them back into the fold, that's his heart. And that should be our heart. So we're going to end it here. But let's just end in prayer. I feel like we need to just give God just some praise right now. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the law of the priests. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is poured out in every chapter, Lord God. And we thank you for the revelation of your heart towards us, of how you made a way of atonement before we even knew that it was needed, Lord God. How you are in every page, how Jesus is in every page of your book. And we just thank you so much that you love us so much, Lord, that you desire for us to be in perfect alignment with you and in perfect relationship, for you are a holy God. And we cannot come to you any kind of way. We must be clean. We must be cleansed. But we do that by humbling ourselves and bringing our sacrifice of praise and of repentance to your altar, Lord. And we just thank you so much for it. Now, Father, give us eyes to see other people as you see them, Lord. Give us eyes to see those that have not come into covenant with you as you see them. People that are souls that are lost and that are hurting and that are in darkness, God. And let us look at them with the eyes that you look at them, exactly how you looked at us. And let us not forget that. So, Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. We ask, Father God, that you would bless our bodies, Lord, to be strong and to be healthy so that we can do great exploits in your name, so we can go where you tell us to go and do what you tell us to do. We bind all sickness, Lord God. We take authority by the blood of Jesus, by the power in your word. We take authority and we declare that by the stripes of Yeshua, we are healed. We were healed. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that no sickness, that no pestilence can come near our tents, near our homes, near our bodies. That's our tents, but also near our homes, our families, God. We thank you, Father. We stand on your word and we declare in faith, hallelujah, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Thank you, Father, and that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Redeemed from sickness, redeemed from poverty. Oh, redeemed, Lord God, from destruction. We are redeemed, for we are your beloved. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Father. Now lead us, guide us, teach us, Lord. Send us out. Oh, whatever it is you want us to do, Father, we say yes. We say yes. So give us a mind to continue to grow in your word and in your purpose, Lord. Give us a mind, Father God, that is the mind of Christ, not the mind of this world. Help us to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Thank you for the increase. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We give you praise and honor. Oh, hallelujah, how we worship your name. In the mighty name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Well, amen. It's been about 34, 35 minutes, so we definitely got that 30 mark in, because, you know, that's when that starts to get worked off. After 30 minutes, okay, you got to go at least 30 minutes to start getting that fat broken down, right? And I'm not talking about the fat that was on the altar, not that fat. I'm talking about the fat that may be accumulating in our bodies because of a sedentary lifestyle or overeating or whatever. Amen. But we are making strides in the natural and in the spiritual. So God bless you. And until next time, when we will be in Leviticus chapter 6, have an awesome, awesome rest of day or evening.